This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God above us, God beside us, God within us, may we continue to perceive you in all people, in all places, at all times, in all things. For truly you are God above us, God beside us, God within us. Amen. Well, I'd like to think that you were just dying to get here because it's Trinity Sunday. But perhaps it has more to do with the weather, but it is great that you are here. Trinity Sunday. We always celebrate it the week after Pentecost, and I never really saw much of a connection between the two as my reflection brought me to this week. Trinity has to do with our reality. As I said in that prayer, God above us, God beside us, God within us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There are so many metaphors that we have about the Trinity to try to get in touch with what it means. But, you know, the more and more science we get into starts to reveal more and more that the reality of existence is Trinitarian. Because the whole idea of Trinity is about the relationship, the perfect relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit. And quantum physics, as we study it, starts to show us that as they get to discover these subatomic particles that are tinier and tinier, they start to understand that what makes reality to be reality is the relationship that happens between those subatomic particles. It's all about relationship. So here is how, for me, this idea of Pentecost leads to our understanding and commitment to living Trinitarian lives as well. So we start with Pentecost. And so to do that, I need to bring up the biggest theological debate of our day, and that is Laurel or Yanni? What do you hear when you hear this first clip?
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Now listen to it at a different frequency.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
How many of you hear Laurel? How many of you hear Yanni? All right, now let's lower the frequency and listen to it one more time.
Yanni. 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 Yanni.
How many hear Laurel on that one? How many hear Yanni on that one? Do you know it's the exact same recording? They have just changed the equalization of the sound, and you are hearing more of the bass with that second one. How often in our lives do we hear the same thing that is said, but hear a different message? Here's another example. Listen to this. Can anybody make that out? All right, well, listen to this next one.
The juice of lemons makes fine punch.
Now, having heard that, let's go back to the one before that again and listen to it again. Could you hear something that time? The juice of lemons makes fine punch. Because our ears had been conditioned by what we saw on the screen with those words and by what we clearly heard in the second version of it. What we hear is conditioned by lots of different things. Our experience, by what we want to hear, by our opinion pre-established of the person who is speaking it. And a lot of times, what we say is not perceived by the person as what we intended for them to receive the message. If you don't believe me, ask any priest. I can be up here and preaching, and Rev Wendy can be up here and preaching, or Rev Mary, anybody, and we will be back in that narthex after the service or during the week, and we'll get a note and say, you know, Rev, I really appreciated what you had to say, especially that point, and they'll go on blah, 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 which has absolutely nothing to do with what I said. But it's not what they heard. And praise God, the good news is, in some way, God spoke to them a special message. You know, when I'm preparing for preaching up here, one of the things I'm always praying is, God, help the people who hear me to hear what you would have them hear, not necessarily what I have to say. And that happens so often that to me it's one of the miracles, because I have prayed and I have prepared, but what God did to transform that person had nothing to do with what I said. Pentecost. The wind comes. The winds of change, as we say in our vernacular. The fire comes, and as we spoke last week, fire transforms. Fire changes things. And it is that Holy Spirit at Pentecost that enables them to finally start to understand one another. You know, it's a reversal of what happened in the Old Testament with the Tower of Babel, where God confuses their speech and they can't understand anything. Yanni, whatever. They can't understand what is being said, and now they can. And so it becomes important for us as Pentecostal Christians that we are doing our best to work at the way we use our language so that what we say can be understood. People fight over words. And oftentimes we're not intending to hurt someone by our words, but because we have not been careful enough, they get misunderstood. So perhaps we can work at choosing our words more sensitively. We're still all learning how to speak. The miracle of Pentecost is that we can hear anew, because we're not just hearing with our ears, we are hearing with our heart, God within us. Misunderstanding can still happen. It can happen if you've been married for 40 years. I know I heard Ellen DeGeneres say this week, why is it when a wife says, honey, can you clean up the dishes and take out the trash? What they oftentimes hear is, I'm going to have a beer and take a nap. It becomes important for us to communicate clearly, but not just with words. If we just communicate with words, we will be in a sorry state. The most profound communication, the frame on all our words, is our gestures, our symbols, and even our rituals. how misunderstood a tweet can be, an email can be, an instant message can be. And no, emojis are just not going to clean it up sometimes. But when we are face to face with another person, and there is a smile behind what we say, or a firm handshake, or a look in the eye, or an embrace, or a kiss if it's appropriate, or even a gift, it helps our message to come through. Look how God communicates. God speaks in languages, but God speaks much more beyond that. In the gospel today, Jesus reaches out to Nicodemus and works to speak to him in a way that he can understand. Because at first, born again, Jesus, what are you talking about? You might remember two Easters ago when Nicodemus showed up here and he said this: "My name is Nicodemus, came to Jesus late at night. Hey, I'm a big shot in this culture. Keep this quiet out of sight. I had questions needing answers, so I put it on the table thinking he would shed some light for me if he was able. But instead of sharing how or why, he was more about what now, saying that to follow him, I must be born again somehow. But I'm a grown-up Pharisee with thoughts of how our life's meant to be. And now he says to be born again if I were to be truly free. The art of his disruptions causing me to be confused, but walking in the dark's no fun if his light I refuse. For God so loved the world, that's me. He gave his only son to me so that I would not perish but have life eternally. Life will never be the same again, but this outlook isn't grim. Hiding my life from others, I find my life hidden in him." A message that comes through. And if you recall the refrain that followed, "I'm never going back to the way I was before." When we are able to be that Pentecost on fire and communicating in such a way one with another. But Pentecost is not just about us communicating that love so it can be understood for all people. The gift the Trinity brings to us with the equation is that love, that transforming love, can be found everywhere, in all places, at all times. We are blessed in our Anglican background that we come from the Celtic roots that we have of, even in the pre-Christian days, they understood that God can be found everywhere, in nature, in the trees, everywhere that you went, that the kingdom of God was just a little bit higher than an average man could reach, because that kingdom was just waiting to break through into our world if only we looked to perceive it. The gift of Trinity, so many metaphors for God, but ultimately it's the fact that God can be found everywhere, not just here, but everywhere. And we become the instruments of helping all people to see that we are blessed with everything God has given us in this world. That's what makes me excited about Trinity. You know, there is this wonderful saint that I quoted last week, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a great Jesuit priest, and I talked last week about how he was an outcast, but he was rediscovered and accepted in the church, and he has these wonderful quotes about the transforming power of love. Well, he has another sort of bent that has to do with this Trinitarian approach to our lives. In the early 1920s, he was a geologist, and he went out into the outer regions of Mongolia to do his thing. And he was a recently ordained Catholic priest. And for the Roman Catholic priests, they're supposed to say Mass every day. They're supposed to celebrate Eucharist every day. Where here he is out in the desert. There's no altar. There's no bread. There's no wine. And he's trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Well, he comes to this incredible realization that comes down to us in what he has written, and it's called Mass on the World, where for him, he starts to understand that the Eucharist that he was being called to celebrate was acknowledging the presence of God in all creation. And so this cosmological idea of God being in all things becomes very strong for him, as it can be for us. In closing, you know, our Lutheran friends down the street, they put out these marquees, and they have one that is up right now that is out there. And I don't want to get into what some people would call marquee wars. But theirs right now says, this is where God's love is made visible. Well, in what I'm saying, maybe this would be more appropriate. This is where we learn to make God's love visible to the world. And to recognize that God's love is in all people, in all places, in all things. Happy Trinity.